Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart.
And welcome and Happy New Year.
Happy
You're listening
New Year.
To Art on the Air on WVLP 103.1 FM and on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM. This is our weekly program covering arts and arts events in Valparaiso and throughout Northwest Indiana. Hey, I'm Larry Breckner of New Perspectives Photography, right alongside here with Esther Golden of The Nest in Michigan City.
Aloha, everyone.
We're your hosts for Art on the Air. Hey, that theme music you just heard is by the wonderful Billy Foster, vocal by Renee Foster.
Oh, we love that piece that they did for us.
It's so wonderful. And you know what? We'll have more information about upcoming Jazz Nest information coming through. We're in the plans for that, but that'll be coming out. And by the way, our underwriters for Art on the Air are Valparaiso University's Brower Museum, our landlord, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. And if you'd like to find out about leasing space in this wonderful historic technical building, you know, give Walt a call, 219-462-5821. I'd like to thank them for their generous support. And always thanks to Greg Kovach, WVLP station manager. He gets us on the air and keeps us on the air.
Yay, Greg. Thank you.
You know, Art in the Air is supported by the Indiana Arts Commission Arts Project Grant. We got that through the South Shore Arts and the National Endowment for the Arts. So we thank them for getting us, keep us going on the air. Hey, if you're interested in being a guest or send us information about your arts-related event, exhibit, please email us at artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. That's artontheairwvlp@gmail.com. Our program, along with all of our programs, are streaming live at wvlp.org. So if you can't get us over the air, you can hear us that way. And Art on the Air is rebroadcast Monday and streaming at 5 p.m. You can hear our entire show thing archive at breck.com. That's breck, BRECH.com/AOTA, along with our detailed arts calendars right there. And, of course, our program is carried by Lakeshore Public Radio, 89.1 FM, every Sunday at 7 p.m. We're also carried on IU Northwest, WIUN Red Hawk Radio. And that's our closed-circuit radio station. So that's where we're going. And, by the way, we take a moment here to wish everyone, hope they had a happy holiday. Did you have a happy holiday, Esther?
It was brilliant. How about you?
I had a great holiday. Nice, quiet, and things at home. We watched. We binge-watched a lot together, my bride and myself. So it was a great
time. I took a lot of walks.
There you go. Well, we'd like to talk just briefly about support like we do every week. You know, we're always looking for support because we're a community-based radio station. That means we rely on you and our underwriters. If you're interested in being an underwriter, supporting us in whatever way, and Esther and I especially would like if you supported our program, Art on the Air, you can come an underwriter, find out information at wvlp.org/support. That's wvlp.org/support. We have underwriter levels at various times. We'll read you at the beginning and end of our show if you're our specific underwriter and however you want to do that. So we really encourage you to do that. You know, and I always say this every week, don't just be a VLP listener, become a supporter, because don't give till it hurts. Give till it feels good. And you'll feel so good about supporting the WVLP family and especially Art on the Air. So I guess we're ready to start the arts calendar and, you know, it's starting to gear up a little bit now. I know for Porter County, I said there's a whole bunch of things just starting up. So
well, that's good.
So here we go. For Porter County, Valparaiso University Center for the Arts, well, they've been closed and are closed through January 5th, but they are reopening with several new exhibits. And all of the links, by the way, are on our arts events page. You have the Curry Bowman Brown County and Beyond exhibit. They'll be opening, and it's curated by Daniel Kraft and Jim Ross. Spectral Speculations. These are Japanese prints. That was a Ruth A. Gerge collection. Marybrook Unfinished and prints by Loretto Capilli. And these are all at the Brower Museum in the various galleries. You can find more information about that. And they will have an opening on January 12th at 2 o'clock. Inseparable Film Tour in Valparaiso. Five award-winning filmmakers chosen by the Indiana Humanities to create short documentaries examining ways Hoosiers experience rural identities. That will be on Wednesday, January 15th at Valparaiso University at 6:30. Again, you can find out information on the Facebook link on our site. The Village Gallery at Pines. Well, Jeffrey Baumgartner is just about ready to wrap up, so you can, if you run out there, I think today you might get a chance to see his stuff before it comes down tomorrow. That will be on Friday to Saturday. But they'll be coming back with a new exhibit on January January 12th, Jackson Pearson, Remembering a Man and His Eye for Beauty. And that'll be opening Sunday, January 12th, Village Gallery. That's in Valparaiso at the Village Circle. And you can see what that is. Chesterton Arts Center. Well, you know, they almost have too much stuff to put on. So if you go to their website, there's new classes coming in January. They have two brand new youth instructors there. So lots of classes of all in. But they're continuing with the Duneland Photography Club member exhibit through January. So that's going on. Mac Vanderwine always does the first Wednesday of each month. He has a critique night. So if you're an artist, bring your things in, and Mark will critique, give you gentle critiques, you know, about how to improve your work. So that's Wednesday, 7:30 every Wednesday. And there's a whole host of brand new classes, ceramics, and there's almost too many to list. In fact, they're one of the few people that fill our WVLP Art on the Air mailbox. So Art Barn, well, they'll be having open mic contest extraordinaire. So the details are on our link there. Artsy Fine Arts, well, they've been kind of down for the last couple days just because of the holiday, but Artsy Fine Arts in Chesterton, they got a whole range of new classes. They have wire wrapping and acrylic pour classes. See the details on their link on Facebook. The Ellen Firm Gallery continues with the DT Chase with the Iron Horse, a 40 by 50 oil painting along with other paintings. That'll be running through middle of January. So that's the Ellen Firm Gallery on US 12 in Beverly Shores. Memorial Opera House. Well, they've been dark for a while. They just finished all their things, but they're getting ready for and are in rehearsal for Mary Poppins, the musical, which will be opening February 14th. We'll have more details as we get closer to that. Dig the Dunes. Well, they all have their trivia night tonight, and we're saying that live here for those of you, but it's Friday, January 3rd, and it's a trivia night at Lambstone Cellars and Rinery in Valparaiso. Information, again, on the link there. You can find out things. And also, they still have some calendars left from 2020, and yes, you can look at that wonderful October page, and yours truly is on that page. So, Chicago Street Theater, well, they are going to be doing several things, but they're going to do Comedy Valpo on Saturday, January 11th, 8 p.m. Then they will be opening a new show in January 24th called The Curious Incident of the Dog in the Night. You can find out information at Chicago Street Theater in Valpo. And 4th Street Theater, well, they have their new show they're in rehearsal for called Art, and we had Grant Fitch on. He's going to be in that. It's a three-person show. They'll be opening on March 13th. We're just giving you an advance. But they're doing their improv, and I have to say this very carefully, on January 11th at 8 p.m. It's Make Shift Up and Disposable Theater. So you can find out information about that with 4th Street Theater. So that's what we got going on in Porter County. What do you got going on in LaPorte County?
Kind of light for January. First Friday's coming up, but most of the businesses don't participate in it for January and February. We will be open with our drum circle, but in LaPorte County, Thaddeus C. Gallery, located at downtown LaPorte, they have a new exhibit up. Please visit them. They're a wonderful gallery. Lubesnik Center for the Arts. Living Architecture is just about winding up. January 4th is the last day, and it's exhibiting in all three galleries. In the NIPSCO Art Education Studios, the Social and Learning Institute in Paladin have an exhibit also up until January 4th called As We See It. Rising Phoenix Gallery is closed until March 1st, and I want to extend condolences to my sweet friend John and his family. SFC Gallery, I believe they do not have an exhibit in January. I couldn't find one.
But it's fun to go there anyway.
It is.
You can see all the wonderful things they do.
I know. I'm sure they'll have something up.
Yes.
And the frames are worth
if
going to see
else,
anyway.
If nothing else, Christina can put her stuff up.
Yeah. Well, just saying hi to Christina is a treat in
itself.
Blink Contemporary Art is exhibiting the work by Suzanne Cohen Lang and Rick Lang. Nest is exhibiting the work of Robert Serko, and his exhibit is called Me, Myself, and Eyes. It's his recent paintings and drawings. Artist Sandra Setlick has created some watercolors of animals, which she's made into cards, and she'll be donating all the proceeds from the card sales to the Humane Society of the Dunes, and this is an ongoing thing that we will be doing. 100% of the proceeds go to the Humane Society of the Dunes. Saturday, January 21st, and every third Saturday, it's the All Ages, All Talents, the Every Kind of Talent Show with Captain Ambivalent.
Ta-da!
Da-da-da-da! 7 p.m., and it's open mic meets vaudeville meets show and tell. First Friday, monthly drum circle with Don Wenig. Let's let's welcome the new year and make some noise. It begins at 6:30 p.m. And if you're listening now, it's tonight. I'm hoping we don't need to cancel. It kind of depends on if the wax on the floor is
okay, so we need to explain that to the audience. Esther stayed all night waxing the floor at the Nest. So for no other reason, you go see her shiny floor.
Just see the bright and shiny floor for the new year. But we'll probably put a tarp on it because it's like, so you just want to put a tarp on it and have nobody walk on it. But hopefully it'll be dry by tonight. Wednesday, January 15th, the Brain Injury Support Group meets at Anamkara, but we might be moving it to the Nest for the winter. And something fabulous coming up Sunday, January 19th, it's Free Your Story, a storytelling workshop with Roger Batten. More events and details on the Nest Michigan City. I will say that the Foster Golden Jazz Nest Spotlight, which we will be doing monthly, the first one, I believe, will be January 25th. But thereafter, they'll be every second Saturday. And then we have a couple dates picked for the fest. We're going to do two big fests this year.
Yeah, we should explain that. Well, if you missed the fest on November 30th, the original one, we're with the success of it, we're going to try to make that an ongoing thing. And we met on Christmas Eve.
We
of
did
all days.
Christmas Eve.
And
we're dedicated.
Trying to make this happen as a biannual event for the fest and the spotlights and everything. And we're going to make revive jazz in Northwest Indiana.
Vital again.
And build it around the Billy and Renee Foster. You know, Billy has so many contacts in the jazz. And he may not appear or he may not perform at every single one of these, but he's going to bring in some of the great jazz artists from around the area.
Billy probably will not be performing at every single one, but he will be responsible for
getting
who
people
is
there.
And so it'll be in July and November will be the two big fests.
Very good.
So that's so exciting.
It is. It is. So we'll get that. And you can see me emceeing these usually. You know, I can go up there and make a fool of myself now.
You were so wonderful.
And I'll send you the check for that. Moving on to Lake County, Studio 659. They're just finishing their An Arm and a Leg exhibit. And you can see that through January 4th. That's they now have a call for art, their annual salon show. And they always call it Artistic License. And it's a juried show. You have to have work that's been done the last 2 years. It's due Friday, January 10th, and I have details on how to do that, where to go on our thing. That's in Whiting, so if you've never been to the little Studio 659 gallery, it's a real cute place right there on 119th Street in Whiting. South Shore Arts, well, we're going to talk about this a little bit later, but I'll just hit briefly on it. Bachman Gallery, Things That Go Bump in the Night, still running there through February 2nd, and I saw that exhibit. It's kind of mind-blowing, actually. The Atrium Gallery, well, you missed the trees. The Festival of Trees is gone, you know, sorry. And that was from the Women's Symphony. But now you can see the Earthforms in there that opens January 11th through March 8th. On Crown Point Branch, there's Winter in the Indiana Dunes. That will open January 4th through March 8th. And we'll, you know, have our guest talk a little bit more about these things. But that also has Bridget's work in there, so it's your cohort in crime. Studio 659 still continues with the Gallery of the Voice, and Toll Theater starts with Jim Sergerty. It's a surreal thing, so those are all going on coming up, so you can find out details both there on their website and on ours. Miller Beach Arts and Creative District, they're just wrapping up their current multi-artist exhibit on January 5th, so you can see that. It's a group show with painting, sculpture, digital art, a whole bunch of people see that at Miller Beach, and you can still get there. There's some the streets kind of torn up a little bit, but you can still work your way down there. They're open on Thursdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. South Lake Artist Cooperative, otherwise known as Slack, and they call themselves Slackers. I was a Slacker. I exhibited with them. They're still doing at the Crackle, which is their exhibit, at the Sip Coffee House number 2 in Highland, and they're doing Word at the Sip Coffee House in Crown Point, and they're doing that, and they also have their 10th anniversary invitational show that was still at the Paul Henry Gallery in downtown Hammond, and they're doing also Portrait of an Artist that's at the Wild Rose Brewery in Griffith. So it's a very active group. And no, they don't have they only have a Facebook presence because they're a bunch of slackers. No, they're a really great group of just artists that really sit together as a cooperative. And kind of an offshoot of that group is the Dire Arts Visionaries, otherwise known as Dave, small e in the end, by the way. And they're still doing Space Energy Time. And you can find out information about that, again, on their Facebook page. And again, we have the link on our site. Theater at the Center. Yeah, that's old stomping grounds for me. Comedy Comedy Night at the Center for Visual and Performing Arts in Munster, and they're doing a Kashmir, a Led Zeppelin show on January 10th. How about that? Led Zeppelin at the Center. I don't think I'd ever seen that before when I was there. That was kind of... No, who'd have thought? But anyway, things move on. Saturday, January 11th, they're doing a tribute to Buddy Holly, starring Zachary Stevenson. It's two performances on one day. That's on January 18th. And then they're getting rehearsal for their next production, Almost Heaven. That's opening February 13th through March. It's a John Denver salute, so you can see that. They also have a thing called Theater for Young Audiences, and they do two things. One is going to be the MLK, Martin Luther King Project, on January 27th through February 1st. And then they're doing a version of Aladdin, April 13th through 19th. I'm not sure if that's the musical version. I have a feeling it's going to be a straight version for Theater for Young Audiences. The Promise You Art House in Highland. Well, they still have their winter collection. There is a wide variety of artists. It's right on Kennedy Avenue in Highland, a beautiful little place. So it's a crafty artisan. So if you missed that holiday gift or want to get something for yourself, you have some gift cards, go to Promise You Art House there on Kennedy Avenue. Let's see, Dillinger. Well, we're going to have these folks on next week. A stage reading of a new play by Jerry Holt on Beatniks and Conky at 2 p.m. They'll be doing that, and we're going to have them tell more about that when they appear next week.
That'll be so exciting.
Yes, and they're going to actually read some excerpts from the brand new play.
I hope so.
And you can also find out more about Northwest Indiana Symphony. They'll be coming up their next concerts a ways away, but they're going to be doing a Vivaldi, Rachmaninoff, Beethoven, and I see Yana Resnick's on the thing. We've had her in part of the concert series that we had at my place several years ago. And more information about other groups. So that's about all we have for Lake County. Hey, where's your event? Well, you know, you can do it very easily by saying art on the air, WVLP@gmail.com. That's art on the air, WVLP@gmail.com. We encourage you to send it to us, and we'll put it on the air and also include it in our arts events calendar so you can have that. So that's where we are. And so we have our guest today. She's no newbie for us. She's been here several times, and this is the second time with us.
It's always a pleasure.
The wonderful Donna Catalano. She is the Special Projects Director and Development Officer for South Shore Arts, which is also oversees the symphony and everything like that. And you know, something I missed the last time you were here, Donna, we'll talk a little about your history, is I was looking at your resume. You were a pre-med student.
Yes, I was. I have a degree, a pre-med degree, or a degree in biological sciences from the University of Chicago.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, so.
That's amazing.
And my minor was art history.
Okay.
And it was so funny because my art history professor called me in several times. And he goes, you really, really should switch to art history. I'm like, what can you do in the arts to make a living, you know, especially since I don't have talent. You know, I knit, but that involves counting, and I do math. So that works.
Well, that works.
It's so funny because all my teachers said, you should go into medical illustration.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. How funny. Yeah. So, yeah, I just ended up kind of following. I went into hospital administration because I didn't go to school till I was older. And so I did that. And then I worked at University of Chicago for the two guys that made emergency medicine, especially Frank Baker and Peter Rosen, worked for them. Ended up going to school there as an older student, and then just decided to follow a different path.
But I think we all do that. I know. I know. In my youth, I actually started college thinking I was going to be an engineer, electrical engineer, and things. And then I sat in the first integrated calculus with analytic geometry class, and I went, oh my gosh, I don't know if this is for me. I mean, you know, it was like, and I was always doing artsy things. I was doing theater most of the time. I was doing lighting design. So I know then finally
you have to find your passion.
Yeah.
And I found mine. So I love helping people get money. It's a
great
passion. And
you're
a
professional handholder as well.
Yeah, you have to do that. You do have to do that.
Well, tell us a little, since we talked about some of your, tell us your early history. Where did you grow up in the region?
I grew up in the region, actually. The reason I ended up at University of Chicago is my mom is originally from Hyde Park.
Okay.
And I didn't know what I wanted to do. And she said, well, you know, there's this really nice university up by where I used to live. Why don't you go work there while you figure it out? And I'm like, oh, and then it ended up being 15 years of my life up there. So it was really neat. And my dad was from the southeast side. So we were transplants. I was allergic to the emissions from the steel mills,
okay,
on the south side of Chicago. So they relocated to Dyer, Indiana. And so I went to Lake Central, and from there I live in Crown Point now. So.
And she ran for office in Crown Point.
Yeah, you know, it was on my bucket list to try and do that.
So you're going
to
try that again, you think?
No, I help people now.
Yeah.
So I go walk for people.
And one of our guests we had on previously, you helped a little bit.
Lisa, did you have Lisa back?
No, we had...
Liz Werfel?
Well, Liz is from Valpo.
Shelley Vandenberg, I've walked for her. Chris Chung from Cherryville.
Used to be with Star Plaza Theater. Her name went away.
Oh, Dawn Stokes.
Dawn Stokes. We had her
Dawn
on.
Dawn Stokes. Yeah, I was supposed to meet with her today, but she's got a cold, so we're going to reschedule.
Yeah, we had her on because she's talking about, that was supposed to be the reopening of Crown Theater.
Yes. And
I'm not sure if that's happened yet.
You know, I hear background noise, but I don't think anything's happened. There was an issue with, I believe, the lease. So they're working that out.
Okay.
And hopefully we'll see something.
Yeah, because we had her on just before the grand opening. We're going to have the first guy there, and then I had to move that outdoors.
Yeah,
so.
No. I know. I hope it does come to fruition because it's a great building and it's a good location, and Crown Point needs more arts also.
That's true. Yes. That's true. Mm-hmm. Well, then you left the University of Chicago, and then what else have you done?
I went to Methodist Hospital.
Okay.
And worked for them and was director of purchasing for a while, and then decided, you know what, I really miss the arts in my life. And I was on the board of directors for South Shore Arts.
Sure.
And the grants person was leaving, and they said, you know, you'd be really good at this. Administration is administration. And I thought, you know what, I would, and I like it. And I've been there since 2007.
Wow.
Yeah. So I was down, and it was so funny because I was actually down doing Habitat for Humanity down in New Orleans after Katrina, and I got the call from John Cain saying, hey, we'd like to offer you the position. And I thought, well, here I am rebuilding New Orleans and rebuilding my life. So it was a win-win, so it worked out well.
Unfortunately, we didn't cross paths when I was there because I was at the center from 92 to 98 before the school system hired me. And
I wish I would have. We would have worked well together.
I know. Well, I had a lot of good contacts, and my vision when I was at the center, there was a lot of I call silos, where everyone was kind of like, and I always tried to be a bridge to that. You know,
yes.
It's like it's just like Ben Franklin says, you know, certainly if we don't hang together, we'll hang separately. And I've always believed arts were arts.
Yeah,
so.
And that's what I do for the Indiana Arts Commission. It's divided into regions, and so I'm Region 1, which is Lake Porter and LaPorte County, and it's to do outreach and to let people know that these opportunities are here to help you with collaborations, to work with people. If you're looking for somebody to do music or performing arts or dance and you want to, you know, work with them, just call me. I can hook you up with somebody.
And coming on Arts in the Air to talk about that.
Absolutely.
Well, this is grant season, and that's probably the primary thing we're first going to talk about, and then we'll talk about things that are going on at the center and everything like that. So, and we're involved, well, both of Esther and I have been involved at your invitation at the grant process.
Oh, yes. Yes.
Sitting on the panel last year was, 26, or the previous year was 26 of them that I had to read.
We split that in two last year, especially because I thought, I'm like, nobody can read 26.
Well, I remember when you first approached me, and I was still working the school system, and the problem was, the time was that was also when I was in final production for the spring musical.
Yes, it was always spring musical.
And I was like, you don't quite understand. When you're the lighting designer, I said, and now I know for sure that would have been a mistake if I did that. So.
No, and I'm glad I have you now, though.
Oh, I love being it.
just finished up a two-year, because we have anybody that comes in is a grant panelist. We ask them to serve 2 years because I only like to replace half my panel every other year so that I have some newbies and I have some veterans. So it works out really well. So you've finished up 2 years, but lo and behold, we ask you to stay on as a moderator.
And actually, I would like that because I can look at the grants, but I don't have to worry about them.
And you don't have to read them all and make comments on everything.
Exactly. So, well, I'll tell you one thing, and we'll talk more about the grant process for mine, and I know Esther about this, is I really learned about you almost learn how to write a grant.
Absolutely.
So if you're interested in getting a grant, you might want to talk to Donna about serving on the panel because it really gives you an insight, especially interest.
We did that, I think, Amy Black, who is on the board of directors for Dune Summer Theater, she was a little hesitant about writing the grant and everything. I said, well, come serve as a panelist.
Right.
And so she did, and the next year she wrote her grant. She said it helped immensely.
It does.
And especially if you're a level one, which is the higher level ask, you have to do a little bit more work, and you have to be a 501c3. It is good to do that, to be able to see that perspective and to know how to write that narrative.
Okay. Well, let's talk about the grant process. What types are available for people? This is from the Indiana Arts Commission.
Okay. Well, we're going to start on the timeline. Okay. So the first one due is January 16th, and that is called OnRamp. OnRamp is an accelerator for Indiana creative entrepreneurs, and it helps you take charge of your career. Participants can explore a community-engaged approach to apply their creative strengths and build a sustainable practice based on business concepts. So it's a couple-day retreat where you go and work on making your business run better and your business as an artist. So it's really good. You get a certificate of completion after that. It's run through the Indiana Arts Commission, and I believe they just won a national award for this program. So
where do they meet? Where is the retreat?
I know it's at different places. The first year, I think it was at Indiana University in Bloomington. Mm-hmm. So it'll be somewhere around Indy. It's kind of Indy-centric, so it'll be somewhere down there. And you literally work on business plans. You help plan your business. You help. It's to help you take it to the next level. Because sometimes you get stuck or you get in a rut. So
and artists aren't always the best business people.
No. And one of a good success story is Chris Acton.
Oh, yeah.
Who is from Chesterton. She received the OnRamp invitation. They'd invite like 32, 33 people to come take part. Afterwards, you can apply for, I believe it's a $2,000 fellowship, if I'm not mistaken, and then you can use that to do what you created in this program.
Right. So,
and you have to have that certificate of completion to apply for that fellowship.
Fantastic.
And she got in a fellowship. I think it was to create her new website.
Right.
So,
which
yeah.
is very nice.
Oh, yeah. And, yeah. So that was nice.
Well, and that's Chrissy's mission. As much as we love her at Chesterton Arts Center for kind of being our office administrator,
yes.
Her goal, we know, being
it's
on the board,
is to
do that really full
time. And I think it really, that doing that program really showed her that she could
yes.
be.
Yes. Yes, so you yeah. have seen it firsthand. So,
yes, I have.
Yeah, and I think one of the other people that received it this year was Laurel Izzard.
Laurel, yes. We haven't gotten her on the show yet. I'm trying to work on that.
And Brian Dortman.
I just know him on a handshake.
Yeah,
so.
He was here. He lives in Chesterton, I believe, doesn't he? And was Sam Love in that group, too?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. So a lot of local artists. You get to know them. We were, I think we had 5 people in that program from Region 1. So it's well worth the time. And it's not that hard of an application process.
Right.
You don't have to do a lot to be included.
Yeah, it's a great program, and if you're interested in that, again, Donna, you can contact her. I have her information on our events page,
yes.
and right on the South Shore Arts, you can do there. I have her phone number and an email link to you.
Yeah, give me an email, call me, we can get together, we can talk about it, we can talk through it.
I won't say this just because Donna's here, but she is a great person to handhold you through the process. She is there for you to
so
do this.
So completely knowledgeable.
Yes. And my job is to make you successful.
Well, right. What's really great is you make the connections with what somebody is hoping to do and
you.
How they can bring it forth.
Yeah, I want that. I want Region 1 to be center for
I think
the
you
state.
Succeeded in that because I heard when I went to the little Grant pizza thing that they had with Anna Transgressor,
yeah.
and she was even saying that about Region 1, how Region 1 is.
Well, thank you. And
it has a lot
I've
to
been,
do with Anna.
I'm very honored. The Indiana Arts Commission, the partners, so there's 11 of us
right.
From all the regions. We meet quarterly. I have been appointed to be the chair of that partnership.
Fantastic.
And I did it a couple years ago when I first started, but I really have much more insight, so I think it'll be nice to do round 2 of that. So.
Well, and I always use this example. Northwest Indiana, depending on how you define the boundaries, I've used this as a pledge pitch on the air, but it's true. We're about the size of Indianapolis if you took and transplanted us, but we live in the shadow of Chicago, and of course we're not... You know, not unified.
We're not as cohesive.
And the good thing is that the funding is per capita. So outside of Indianapolis, we have the second largest
right.
population. So that means the money follows that. So we're happy with that.
I'm very happy.
Yep.
And we're a vibrant arts community up here, too, in
Completely.
Arts and theater and music and everything. So then there's other arts grant opportunities.
Well, this one is for women only. they're asking for submissions for the 2020 Hoosier Women Artist Contest. And what it is you submit a piece of work that you have, And then Susan Crouch, who is the lieutenant governor for the state of Indiana, Janet Holcomb, who is the governor's wife, and a couple other people in positions choose the artwork that will hang in the state house for a year. And it's a really great honor to have your art in there.
Oh,
because
sure.
How many people go through the state house a year? School groups take tours. I mean, it's always a busy place. It's a really neat place if you haven't visited. But it's they're celebrating the 100th anniversary of the women's suffragette movement. So they want your art to do to have some, have a representation of what that means to you. So that is due January 31st. You can go on the Indiana Arts website, and there's a link for that. We'll give it to you at the end of the program, all the links, and Larry will have them
if you,
on
And if you
website.
Want to send me the links, I'll put it on our events page, and that way it'll be there.
I will
All right.
give you my form.
She gave me the form right away.
I will give you the form.
I know Peggy, who we had on the show from Duneland Art, she has a piece up.
And Carol Estes.
And Carol Estes from the previous year.
And I believe Laura Cutler has had a piece
yes.
a few times in the State House. So you could. There's no limit to how many times you can do that.
Right.
So
I'm submitting this year.
Yes, you better be submitting.
I am submitting this year.
The advantage that you women have.
Yes.
Way to go.
Yes.
Go women.
Yes. I know.
There's more traditional groups.
Going on, onward.
And briefly, we have Donna Catalano here on Art on the Air.
Okay, next up is due February 6th, and that is the Individual Advanced Program Grant. And that is for individual artists, and they can ask for, $3,000, I believe,
mm-hmm.
to do a project that benefits their community. So that thing that you've been wanting to do in the courthouse or the square or at a school or whatever, take a look at it. It's really helps you take your career again. It's for you to develop your career. And what they do is every other year they change disciplines. So this year it's visual arts, crafts, design, media arts, photography, Larry, folk arts. And, you know, it's just a great thing. We had 9 artists get that grant mm-hmm. last year, and that's $3,000 goes a long way, especially with artists. I think artists can do with $1 what it takes most people to use $4.
Exactly.
I mean, that's a proven fact. That is just statistics.
And what I found out about the program, I was actually thinking of doing this year, but I'm going to postpone it for the 2-year cycle because I have a project in mind, because I've been doing so many things. But the thing about it is you can use it to get classes, take
yep.
classes in
oh,
your
yeah.
discipline.
Do a workshop.
Workshop.
Yeah.
Buy equipment. Like I was always thinking, well, maybe I need that lens I want for my camera to do this project. You know, there are a whole bunch of ways that you can actually apply this. It's not that, and the other thing, which all these grants usually have, is the community involvement.
Yeah, and I do need to correct myself. That is $2,000, not $3,000.
Okay, that's what I thought. I was like,
yeah, no, feel free to correct me because I do this so much, and there's so many that they kind of like intertwine with each other sometimes. So
the disciplines, again, are visual arts this year for
crafts, designs, media arts, photography, and I love folk arts too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the deadline for that is?
February 6th. And then if you want, the Indiana Arts Commission will review that grant for you. And if you let them know by January 23rd to please take a look at my grant, see if I need to do anything different,
right.
they will do that for you.
The one thing I'm when I was doing the art review, and I think, is they really want to give the money away.
They
really do want.
Well, they have to give it away. Yeah. I mean, they have this in their pot. It needs to go out the door.
Right.
And it might as well be you.
Right.
So
there's really, it's not like they're trying to curmudgeon the money.
No, save it. There's no rainy day fun in the arts.
No. And I know Donna will even help you kind of with this process too.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. Well, come talk to me. If you don't know where you belong or where you should apply, come talk to me and we'll work it out.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now there's grants for other things.
The two big ones, or the big deadline is March 5th, and that is for the regional initiative grants and the RIGs, as we call them. And that is, we have art project support, and those are for organizations or groups that want to apply and their operating income is under $50,000 a year. You can also be a non-arts organization in this area and do what they call an art project. So if a municipality wants to do a music fest or something like that, they can apply for that because they are a public entity. Or one of my examples is Duo Sequenza. Deborah
right.
Siebert, I'm sure you've had
We've
her
had her on the show.
She did not have a 501c3 for the first 2 years she applied, but she used a fiscal agent, which would be the Porter County Community Foundation, and you run your money through a fiscal agent if you're not currently a 501c3.
And Donna can explain that if you have questions about it. She'll take you through the process.
And that's very simple. You just it's kind of like a pass-through. You just use them. They are responsible for receiving the money and getting it out to you since you don't have the 501c3 status.
So the money is there.
The money is there.
And then we have to remind people that we are now supported by the Indiana Arts Commission.
Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Very proud of that.
We're very proud of
we're
that.
Very.
We say it twice a week.
Yeah, there's another Valpo Creek Council.
Right.
Yes, they also received a project grant.
Both of those are from our previous host on the show, Melissa Washburn. She really pushed those through.
Yes, she did. She's a force to be reckoned with. She does a great job of getting. She's good for really getting things going and started.
Yes.
And getting them running and then turning them over to someone else.
Yeah, she turned this over to us, didn't we?
She and Greg Hertzlieb.
The deal was, I think I told you this before, Donna, but how we became hosts of the show. I thought they were looking for fill-in hosts. So I said, oh, yeah, I was coming down there. And anyway, we want you to take the whole thing over. Okay, I guess this is our new life. So and Esther and I had never met before.
No, we met at that first interview.
Oh, my gosh. But what a great opportunity.
Yeah.
And all the interesting people you get to talk to.
Well, true. And, you know, and I've been involved in arts all my life.
And we had never met, and I'm so glad that we did.
Well, and one of the things, since I'm here at this radio station, I am really looking for grantees in rural areas. Rural areas are kind of the underserved areas for the arts. So if you know anyone in a rural area that is a possible fit for this, I would
Matt
really
Warner, do you think he might be a good grantee? He's an author. He actually works a farm.
A farm.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah,
that would be great.
We've had him on the show a couple times.
Yeah, because literary arts does count. Yeah. I think the Indiana writers, I think Janine Harrison had a great one year for Northwest Indiana
Matt's
Writers
Consortium.
Matt's
really, really talented.
Yeah. Oh, good.
Yeah,
yes.
He makes subjects that I would not be interested in all. I read the whole thing.
Like the baseball history thing.
Well, that I was interested in.
Yeah, but I mean, he's got some wonderful things he's written.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wonderful. Yes.
We'll have to give Matt a call.
And it's funny because I think even in my three-county area, I do not have any grantees south of Route 30.
Oh, my gosh.
I know. So everything tends to be north, even in all three counties. And LaPorte has probably more rural areas. So if you can think of anybody, let me know, please. So, or anybody out there, please give me a call. I would love to do something with you. We used to have Gabus Arboretum, but now that Purdue Northwest has taken that over, they're not. It gets more complicated as a university to apply for a grant. So
that we have that grant.
That was that project grant. Now we have, if you have are an arts organization and you have arts in your mission statement, and you have an operating income budget over $50,000 but under $250,000, you would apply for an AOS 1 grant. And that is not restricted. It can be just for operating expense for your organization, and you can ask for up to $10,000 in that. In the art project support, you can ask for up to $5,000. And art project support this year, what I do is I spread the money again among all the applicants who scored high enough. So I think this year every grantee was getting $4,000, like almost $4,100.
Right.
And so I like to keep it like that. Some of the partners do it where they fund everybody at $5,000 going by score, and when they run out of money, you don't get funded, even though you scored high enough. And I don't like to do that. I like everybody.
Donna likes to give you the money. It's the whole bottom.
I like to give everybody money. So I keep it at that. But arts organization support is, we have a lot of those in here. Let's see.
What's an example of one?
I've got my list right here. AOS 1 level, I have Art Barn School of Art.
Right.
They just moved up. They were an art project support up until last year, but they really become a force to be reckoned with.
Thanks, Amy.
Yes, I know. Association of Artists and Craftsmen, which is Chesterton Arts Center. Beachfront Dance School. In Beachfront Dance School, they did a really neat thing. They were a finalist in the Instagrant competition down at the Arts Homecoming this past year. They do a program where they teach kids with disabilities, physical disabilities, or any disability, how to do dance. So great little school, and that's out in Miller. Books, Brushes, and Bands for Education up in Hammond. Dunes Art Foundation, which is the Dunes Summer Theater. They were a new AOS one.
And we've had them on the show.
Yep. Lakeshore Community Concerts, which you are very familiar with.
Yes, back when they were Hammond Community Concerts, became Munster Community Concerts, and now Lakeshore.
Yes, and they do a reciprocity with Portage Music.
Several others. Valpo.
Valpo.
In fact, my quick story on that. Quick story is that they were generally sold out at my place. There was over 1,000 seats. Oh. So we would have the reciprocity people, and we'd stick them in the corner, and then 10 minutes before showtime, if people didn't show up with their season tickets,
move them up.
I put them in there. And there were times that, like, I remember Glenn Miller Orchestra, I'm sorry, folks, we don't have room. And it's like, well, can we set up chairs? I said, no, that's a fire violation. Yeah. I have 1,000-plus people.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, they always have good acts.
Yes.
I mean, and people, it's such a gem. I mean, if you buy a season ticket and you can go to any of their concerts, they're just amazing.
I know. It's like $65, I think, for a season of 6 shows.
Yeah.
It's like, I know. Wow.
And you can go. And it's just great. Miller Beach Arts and Crafts, which is at the Marshall Gardner Center in Miller. South Shore Dance Alliance, that's Larry Brewer, his group operates out of the YMCA in Griffith, and then the Toll Performing Arts Company, which is the theater in Hammond. So those are all the AOS one. The only thing, if you are planning on doing an AOS application, you do have to submit a letter of intent. I think that's by January 12th, I think, or it's in that second week of January. You do have to do it. It's just a short little one-page letter of who you are and what your 3-year average income was, and just to make sure that you qualify for this level of funding.
Right.
So, and that is what we do for that. And those are.
And then there's another level down?
There's another level up, which would be AOS 2s,
okay.
Which is if your operating income is over $250,000 a year, you can ask for up to $20,000. They go on a 2-year cycle, so this is an off year for them, so they don't have to do any applications.
And who's in that category?
That would be the Theater at the Center.
Oh, well, yeah.
Yeah.
My other stamping grounds.
The Northwest Indiana Symphony. Gloria Tui's Indiana Ballet, Chicago Street Theater, which is called Community Theater Guild, LaPorte County Symphony Orchestra, Memorial Opera House, and the Jack and Shirley Lebesnik Center for the Arts.
Yeah.
So all large premier arts organizations.
And South Shore Arts, are they on there somewhere?
No, they are at a different level.
Yeah.
Yes,
as they should be, because they do a lot to not only facilitate the arts, but they kind of become, well, they are the Region 1, you know, distribution point. So
yes, and they do a partnership application, and they so kind of puts them at a level 3 organization.
Right.
So yeah.
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
And you know, the one thing I know is Donna absolutely enjoys doing this. I mean, she is smiling during this entire time. If this was television, you would get the enthusiasm for that. So.
No. But, yeah, we had that's our most we've ever had. We re-granted $276,000 last year just in this AOS 1, AOS 2, and the art project support. And then when you count in all the other programs, the people that got AOS funding, the on-ramp funding, the individual artist funding, it ended up being, I think, $333,000 that came back to our region. So we were very happy about that.
Compared us to other states, and sometimes people might find this odd about Indiana, we're really pretty, our Arts Commission is really pretty active and.
It is. I think they're always looking for new ways to bring funding in. I think you remembered back in 2008 or 2009, the state of Indiana cut every state department 8% across the board, except for the arts. They cut their budget by 22%, I believe, 20 or 22%. And we're the smallest department in the state budget. So I don't know what they achieved by doing that. But it took us several years. We kept going back to the state legislature and saying, asking them to reinstate our funding. And we did finally get it back. So that was like $350,000. So in the pot. So
yeah.
That's why you're able to do. Don't forget the Arts in the Parks program. We have several local people. You know, Becky Jaskowiak, she's very active, and I can't tell you how many grants she probably writes for people. She is like the grant guru. So if you need any help with your grant, but she does. A program in the dunes, because with the Arts in the Parks, it is on calendar year, so it's a little bit different. Those applications are due early September. You can apply as an organization or as an individual, and that's $3,000. And she got one for Chautauqua in the Dunes. And the thing is that your performance or event has to take place in a state park or an Indiana state landmark. Believe it or not, the state of Indiana has no state landmarks in this quadrant of the state. So that doesn't work for us. So I think her husband does drama in the dunes.
Right.
Gerald Jaskowiak. Deborah Silvert is doing something in the dunes. Christine Kanowski with birding. Her bird art is doing something. I think there's a photography person doing a workshop and walk around, take photos. So lots of good things. I think 9 people received grants for that.
Fantastic. So.
Excellent. Yeah.
Well, you know, and Becky, I think, is going to be coming on with the Dillinger reading because she's the one who booked that.
I think that it's at Beatniks, but it's
Seedlings.
Seedlings Theater, which used to be part of Crown Point Community Theater.
And they're kind of fun. Yeah. You're listening to Donna Catalano on Art on the Air, heard on WVLP and on Lakeshore Public Radio. So now you're also involved in the other things going on with arts, and since you're at the South Shore Arts, you can kind of go over what's going on there.
Well, I think you talked about them in your... calendar, and we do have a calendar too at South Shore Arts, because that is one of the requirements as being the partner, is that I'm supposed to get it out there of all the things going on.
And
in
sometimes
my three
I pull
counties.
A lot of stuff from my Lake County.
And that's what it's for. I want you to go out and do things. I want you to have fun. So you talked about our things that go bump in the night.
Right.
Well, the second part of that is coming up in February 14th through April 12th, and that is going to be Maurice Sendak, the memorial exhibition. So it's the 50th anniversary of his art, and I think where the wild things are. Tongue twister going there. I think that's going to be fabulous. I can't wait. We'll do a lot of family programming with that. I think we're doing our family Arts Fest. We usually do it in June, but because of this, we moved it to February. So that'll be Sunday, February 23rd from 10 to 2. Kids, will be lots of activities for families and for kids to come out. So that'll be fun. In our atrium, it's Jane Mikulski and Leslie Sobel Earth Forms, January 11th through the 8th. And that reception is January 26th from 1 to 3. And then you talked about Winter in the Dunes with Bridget having some photography.
Bridget is the curator.
Are you going to have any pieces in that show, Winter in the Dunes?
I didn't get asked.
Oh, okay. I don't know what artists are involved in that. I could find out.
Oh, you can find out.
I have connections.
I know you do. Well, I know I have 3 pieces going in the Lebesnik 40th Anniversary for Area Art Association.
Oh, cool.
So, And I'm not doing the monthly thing at Southern Shore Arts because they're no longer have a gallery.
No, and we also, South Shore Arts also hangs art and does the shows at the Toll Theater. So Jim Sirgi is doing It's a Surreal Thing, January 1 through March 8th. And that reception's February 21st from 6:30 to 8. And that's usually a little reception before the Friday night performance at the Toll Theater. And then we're doing Stark Minus Digital Paintings, January 4th through March 14th, and that's at Cafe Fresco in Crown Point. So there's art everywhere when you look.
Yes,
you
and it's facilitated by South Shore Arts.
Yes.
I mean, so it's not just
your
one gallery.
Too. Your classes are fabulous.
Yes, we have classes at our Crown Point location, which is on Indiana Avenue, and then we have them at our Munster location.
I taught there.
Yes.
When I was working there, I taught the theater program because Rita Mazza was this before you were there.
Yes,
Rita Mazza was there, and she had a family emergency, so I took over her class. So I started teaching. Then my wife, who's been my partner in theater for we realized that a lot of times they dump kids in the class that were two different levels. So she took the lower level, and I took a more advanced level.
That's hard.
And then I just got too busy with theater at the center as we were growing. So she took over the whole thing and actually taught for it even after I left the center for many years. So great classes there.
No, and there's some fun things coming up just in the area. I think it isn't February time. Vernon Smith, who's a state representative.
Oh, yeah.
He has his Black Film Festival coming up in February. And if you get a chance to go to that, it's in the restored Glenn Theater right on Ridge Road and Broadway, I believe. And it's wonderful. I got to go out to it last year. The first night is phenomenal. I mean, all the actors that are in the films are he tries and gets a lot of them there. So it's a couple days. And then he did a little mini one, I think, in the springtime, like a one.
Well, he was on the Grant thing this last year. I remember that.
Yes,
and I was so well. You know, he's such a fixture in Gary's.
Oh
just
my gosh,
a
his prominent education background.
Oh my gosh!
And then he does such wonderful things. I think Thanksgiving and Christmas, in order to honor his mother, he does a dinner for people, and they can come out and have dinner with him. So we have a lot of things going on. We have a lot of neat little things that are a little different, like Deborah Bolaños. I love her folk art Mexican dance
troupe
in East Chicago, and she has actually really branched out. She is on the cover of the traditional arts brochure, which is out of Bloomington. So she received a couple years ago a grant to hire an apprentice to teach her craft to.
Oh my gosh.
So that's another opportunity that artists can have. You can actually get an apprenticeship to teach your craft. So those come up usually in July.
And we're looking for an intern for this show so they can help put together the arts calendar.
That's a possibility also. You know,
We'll talk a little bit more broadly about South Shore Arts. You can join the organization, become a member.
We have memberships. It'll give you a discount in the gift shop. It gives you discount on classes. You get invitations to all our events and openings. So it's a good thing, and it keeps us going.
And you have some annual events. We just this past December had an event with that guy called John Kane or something like that.
John does his annual holiday reading
with Jim West this year.
Jim West, his partner, and that raises money for our Every Kid program. We also have our Beaux-Arts Ball, which is our big fundraiser, and that is always the first Friday of June, so that'll be coming up, and we will start working on that actually. So, and then we have our quarterly magazine Convergence,
right?
And your membership does get you a copy of that mailed to your home.
I have to tell you a story about Beaux-Arts Ball. When I was working at the center, we were doing a Tony and Tina wedding theme, and so my wife and I
remember seeing pictures of that,
and I was in this hideous blue, powder blue tuxedo with the ruffle and everything.
It wasn't a leisure suit?
No, it was not quite. And we were the bride and groom. And so the joke was, as people came in, like an older man says, hey, Uncle So-and-so, just love the check. That was great. It bounced, but it was okay. Or love the toast. And we would just kid with people as they come. And one of my former students, but he's pretty well prominent, Tom O'Donnell, he comes in and sees me standing there. And this is his thought. Oh, Larry, what's going on? Look at he didn't get the joke right away.
Oh, no.
He thought
no.
I actually came to this thing dressed like that. It was a lot of fun.
No, I wish I would have seen that one.
Yeah, it was.
I know. They're a lot of fun. And I've been going to John's readings since before I started working for the Art Center.
I know he asked me one year or so when I was there to listen to him. Like, we went in the theater when I wasn't being occupied and just to kind of go over the readings. I am nervous this year. Give me some feedback. So.
Yeah, because he really kind of truncates the stories a lot.
Right.
Some he can read in full. Some of the David Sedaris ones you can read in quickly.
I love the Truman Capote one.
That one was good. And then was that the Peanuts and Martinis?
Yeah.
He did that one. That was a good one. And I can't remember. I love David Sedaris. His one. He did a Gene Shepard one, too, that he got out of an old magazine article.
Okay.
That was just a short story. And that's what he did with short stories. And then we just had Nick Manis on our Eye on the Arts.
Right.
And he's doing a documentary on Gene Shepard.
Okay.
So he'd be a great guest for you to have
on. We'll work on that. So, by the way, you know, Eye on the Arts is our, I guess, an allied program in some ways. South Shore Arts does that. They do both, and I can say this because I'm on the board for Lakeshore Public Media. They do both a radio version of it, but they also now doing arts going out in the community and shooting those people.
Yeah, those are great.
And they can use those pieces for their own promotion. There's no fee or anything like that. So it's a great thing for Lakeshore. And from a Lakeshore board member perspective was we kind of, our television operation moved away from doing local coverage for a long time when we had to shut down the news operation. Yep. So radio was doing it. But now that's bringing us back with that and Friends and Neighbors and some of the other things.
Oh,
that we're
I love
involved
those. Yeah. Those pieces are great. And they stream them. So you can go on their YouTube channel and check those out. I mean, one of the interesting was things I think they did a piece on I saw a couple years ago was about a blacksmith.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I saw that.
In Crown Point. I mean, I would never imagine. You know,
and it's more than just shoeing horses.
That's considered a folk art now. And I think at one of the partner meetings I was at in Terre Haute, they had a guy that made river fishing nets.
Right.
Those are lost arts.
Didn't you have the blacksmith at one of the homecomings? I think, because I think that's where I possibly met him.
Homecoming's, and don't forget the homecoming. The homecoming is coming up in October.
It's of my favorite places in Indiana.
Oh, in Columbus. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's a 2-day gathering of artists and patrons and people who like arts. And there's panel discussions. Decay Devils, which is out of Gary, Indiana, they actually won the Insta Grant last year. And that gives them an extra $2,500 to do whatever they want with. So there's
and tell them what
thing
they do, because I know, but our audience may not.
They take decayed buildings and rejuvenate them. So they have Union Station right now that they're working on in downtown Gary, and they had the Gary Love Fest.
Right.
They got a project grant for that. So they did a one-day festival, and they had all sorts of arts out there. You could work on a mural. You could. There was music. There was all sorts of things going on. So.
Yeah, I remember that. That was the one of the project grants I read. I was so. I'm actually, when I sat on the grant committee, I'm so impressed with those. There was almost none of them. It's like, oh, this is all worthwhile.
Yeah, and you know, I talked earlier about it being difficult for universities, but Indiana University did get a grant this year, and they did it for the art exhibit they had around homelessness.
Right.
And Raisin in the Sun, I think, was part of it, and it was really. Did you read that one?
I don't think I saw that one.
I don't think you got that one, because we did split project grants into two panels this year. But it was really interesting. And so we can address a lot of social issues through art. And I think that's what makes it so inviting and so welcoming to everyone.
Some final thoughts you have as we're getting ready to wrap up here, like your contact information and what's your future too?
My future is to, like I said, I was just appointed to be the chair of the partnership. So I like that because I get to meet with all the commissioners in the state. I get to go to parts of the state that I would normally not go to. Right. One of the most interesting places I visited was Elizabethtown, Indiana. I would never have an opportunity to go there. And it was great. Their local art center had an exhibit art, and they knitted or crocheted giant doilies and put them on all the urns and plants outside. It was really cool. But inside, on the other half of this art museum, was a museum of the Underground Railroad, and because the Ohio River was right there.
Right.
So it was really interesting, and I get a chance to do those things, and I wouldn't have that chance
and
otherwise.
Just a few more seconds, you also have a thing called the Chamber Luncheons.
Oh, my Chamber Luncheons. I will have one coming up in February. I don't have the exact date. It'll be posted on my Facebook and my website, and that is like a Chamber Luncheon. We run it like that, but it's for artists, art patrons, organizations. Come let us know what you're doing. If you need a collaboration, but Purdue Northwest will be hosting that and up at the Chess Gallery on Indianapolis Boulevard. Okay. So we're going to work out some details and get that out to you.
And you're also involved with the Regional Arts Council, which you hooked me into. So
Regional Arts Council, we do lots of interesting things with that. We meet every other month. That is a requirement of being a partner. So, but you only really have to meet once a year, but don't tell anybody. No, we do it every other month. And we try and do things that you can take back to your organizations, like we did Arts on the Table.
Sure.
And you had a discussion about art in your community. So we try and do that.
Well, we'd like to thank Donna Catalano for being here today
much.
For
it's
Art in the Air.
So great.
Great, great, great. And you've been listening to that. Art in the Air is heard every Friday at 11 a.m., rebroadcast Monday at 5 p.m. and Sunday at 7 p.m. on Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1. Your hosts are Larry Breckner and Esther Golden. Thanks to Greg Kovach again, our station manager, underwriters again, our Valparaiso University Brower Museum, and our landlord, Walt Breidinger of Paragon Investments. Art in the Air is supported by Indiana Arts Commission, which is from the National Endowments of the Arts. If you're interested in being a guest, send us your information, artontheair@gmail.com. Next week, we're going to have the Seedlings Theater Company on their new play, Dillinger, and they'll be performing parts of it next week here on Art in the Air. So we'll see you right here next week on Art on the Air.
Aloha, everyone. Have a terrific week.
Thank you.
Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. You're in the know with Esther and Larry. Art on the air today. Stay in the know with Larry and Esther. Art on the air our way. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart. Express yourself through art and show the world your heart.